June 13th, 2017.
Okay, we will start again on Daf Pei Tesamid Beis. We started Perikid on Oshin. We'll have to start again. So, the Chumash tells us a story in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach that Yaakov Avinu was alone. Vayivasa Yaakov Levada, he was all alone. None of the children were there with him. And somebody started a fight with him. And the Haftarah says from the Navi that the one who started the fight was a Malach. And Malach succeeded in breaking his leg. It doesn't say who won the fight. So the Haftarah says that Yaakov Avinu won the fight. And then the Pasuk says, because of this story, he was supposed to remember that we shouldn't eat Gidon Asher. What says Al-Kain Le-Yochman? Therefore, what are we supposed to remember? So the Mepharshim have different interpretations. So some say Al-Kain, we should remember that we didn't fulfill Kibbut Avien. If the children would have been helping the father to transport, he was crossing over a river. So if the children would have helped him carry all of the luggage, so the stranger would have not have mugged him. So as a kapara, they accepted upon themselves not to eat the Gidon Asher, to remember the fact that they violated Kibbut Av. That's what some Rishonim say. Other Rishonim say no. Which remember that when there's a malach represents teva, the Gemara says, every blade of grass that grows on the ground has a malach malamala hamaka isavi amalogadil. So the malachim we usually assume represent teva. So when there's a conflict between the Jewish people and teva, so the Jewish people win. Jewish people are the malach and teva. Individual Jews are killed. Individual Jews do lose their lives, but the Jewish nation always succeeds in surviving miraculously under all conditions. That will always survive. So, we should remember this lesson that klali so is lamayla menatel. Whatever it is, there's a din of Gidon Asher. So there's a machlokes hatanaim. The Gemara brings it in already right away here. So machlokes later in this parak. When was the mitzvah Gidon Asher given? Was it given alken liyochum bnei Yisrael? Means the children of Yaakov Avinu, the Shvatim, were not allowed to eat Gidon Asher. That's why it's written over here in Parshas Vayishlach Anay. Akein Leoch, B'nai Yisrael's Gidon Asher means after Matan Torah. B'nai Yisrael means the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. In the days of the Yaakov Avinu, they were permitted to eat Gidon Asher. It was only Nasa later. So how come it's written here? You should know the historical background, what the Gidon Asher Yisrael is based on. What's Vajamea Nachkemina, where the historical Machlokes, where the Gidon Asher began in the days of Yaakov Avinu, it began late after Matan Torah. So the Gemara says there's a machlekes satanayim, where the Gidon Asher applies to elephants and to horses and to donkeys and to mules. Does it apply to non-kosher animals? Because the mashmos of the pasuk is the simple pshat. Mashmos of the pasuk is the rest of the animal you can eat, but the Gidon Asher you can't eat. If the ganze behemoth treif anyway, so you can't eat anything. The mashmah says it goes on a kosher animal. So if the mitzvah of Gidon Asher was given in the days of Yaakov Avinu, so there was yet no prohibition against eating non-kosher animals. So all the animals were kosher. All the animals would be kosher. So if originally, if Gidon Asher historically was given in the days of Yaakov Avinu, it should apply to Behemoth May as well. And just because the Efter Matan Torah, the prohibitions against non-kosher animals were given, so that all of a sudden the din of Gidon Asher should change. If Kodem Matan Torah Gidon Asher applied to Behemoth Tmeah, so you have to Matan Torah also. But if one should assume that the Isra of Gidon Asher only began at Matan Torah, in Matan Torah all the prohibitions against eating the non-kosher animals were given, so it's self-understood that the prohibition of Gidon Asher only applies to kosher animals. You can eat the rest of the animal, but not the Giran Hashem. Yeah, that's the Poshup Shat in the Mishnah. The Gemara here is going to have a different understanding of what the Machlekes HaTanoim is, where the Giran Hashem is Noig Bebehemet Meyer. There is a discussion in this Perek, and it's going to be in the next Perek. We started from Kolobasa, but in the next Perek. So there is a discussion in these two Prokem. We paskin there is a din of Einisa Chalalisa. Something is already treif, and then you want a new Isa to be Chal on top of it. So we learn that from Sukkim, another Isa cannot be Chal on top of the first Isa. And we paskin la'alocha that there are three exceptions to the rule. Even if the second Isa is more chomer than the first. Let's say the first Isa is Alav and the second Isa is an Isa Kares. It doesn't make a difference. Ein Isa Chalalisa, the second Isa is not Chal. So there are three exceptions to the rule. One is if the both Isur Machal Bavasachas simultaneously. So Eim and Ayim Afkis, which one are you going to throw out? The both Chal simultaneously. So that our Gemara is going to, our Omid, pay test on the base. The Gemara is going to give a case where Avisa Chal Alisa, but the both Chal simultaneously. So you like it twice, you get twice Malkus. Then what if they came at two different times? First Isur was Chal yesterday, the second Isur is Chal today. So if the second Isur applies to more people than the first Isur only applies to Kohen Gadol. Let's say a woman is an Almana. So Kohen Gadol is not permitted to marry Almana. But she marries someone else. And then the second husband gives her a get. She becomes a Grusha. So an Almana who became a Grusha, and then she goes and she marries a Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol will get twice Malkus. Once because he's marrying an Almana, once because he's marrying a Grusha. I ain Isur Chalal Isur. She was already almana for 10 years ago, and now she becomes a grusha because the second husband divorces her. Why not say ein isur chalalisa? The answer is, the isur almana is only vis-a-vis kohen gadol. The isur grusha is even to all the kohanim, kohen hedyot. So since the second isur is much more inclusive than the first isur, so you can't say the isur grusha is not chal for anybody. No, the isur grusha is chal for kohen hedyot, isur chalal heter. Until now, she was only an almana. She was allowed to marry a kohen hedyot. So the isur grusha is chal vis-a-vis all the kohanim hedyotim. So we say, since the second isur grusha is chal with respect to kohen hedyot, so it's also chal with respect to the kohen gadol. Because it was chal, but it gave to the kohen hedyot. So that's an isur moisif. The second isur is much more inclusive than the first isur. The second isur includes many more people. And then there's another exception to the rule, that's how we pass them. There are three exceptions to the rule. One is an Isa Basachas, if the both Isur Machal simultaneously. One is if the second Isur is an Isa Moisif, much more inclusive than the first Isur. And the third exception to the rule is if it's an Isa Koilo. If the first Isur, the second Isur is the same as the first, but the first Isur was only Chal on certain Chatichas, on certain pieces of food. And the second Isur is Chal on many more. Let's say like this. I have non-kosher meat in the house, so I'm not allowed to eat it. It's straight for me. Comes Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat any food in the house, even the kosher food in the house. So let's say a person eats treifa food on Yom Kippur. Is he chayv kares? If you eat nevelus or treifas, you eat basa b'cholav, but that's not kares. That's malchus. That's an aver. If you eat on Yom Kippur, there's kares. So one Tana, Reb Shimon, by Yochai, Reb Shimon is of the opinion, Hoichel Nevela b'Yom HaKippurim is not Chayiv Kores, if it was Nevela before Yom Kippur. First it became Nevela, then Yom Kippur has an Issa Kores, so the Issa Yom Kippur is not Chal on top of the Issa Nevela, because ain't Issa Chal al Issa. We don't accept his opinion. Once in a while we pass like Reb Shimon, very often we don't. We don't accept his opinion. We say that the Issa Yom Kippur, since it's Chal on all the kosher food, the kosher food is Isa Chal al Heter. So Migo that it's Chal on the kosher food, so it's Chal on the non-kosher food as well. According to Reb Shimon's opinion, let's say you have a chole, a lot of people have to eat on Yom Kippur. If they're not going to eat, they're going to be besafik sakon. So you have no choice, they have to eat on Yom Kippur. So what do you tell them they should eat? They should eat kosher food, they should eat treifa food. So according to the Tana Reb Shimon, we would recommend they should eat treifa food. If you're going to eat kosher food, it's going to be an Isa Kares. You're going to eat treifa food, it's just going to be an Isa Lav. And whenever you have to violate an Avera because of Pikoch Nefesh, so the Gemara says in the last Perek on Yuma, Achila Masa Hakala Kal Tchili, try to violate Vos Vinziger, the lesser Avera. So Rab Shimon's opinion is that if you eat nevela on Yom Kippur, ain't isa chalalisa. The isa chorus of Yom Kippur is not chal on top of the isa nevela. So we would recommend let him eat the nevela. So long he won't be in violation of an isa chorus, he'll only be in violation of an isa lav. But we don't pass like that. We hold that that case is an isa koilo. That since the second isa Yom Kippur is chal on kosher food, so the isa Yom Kippur was chal. So migu that is chal on the kosher food, it's chal on the treifa food as well. And if you eat the treifa food on Yom Kippur, you'll be in violation of a double avera. If you eat kosher food, you only violate one avera. The isa Yom Kippur. If you eat the treifa food, you violate Yom Kippur plus treifa plus nevela plus basal chol.
Why is the cholah over anything?
The cholah is allowed to eat. He's permitted. He has to go on some mitzvah. He has to eat. Because the Gemara says when a person has to violate an avera for the sake of pikuach nefesh, you have to. It's not optional. You must save your life, even if it's a svek sveka. Even the odds are that you're going to survive without it. The din says you don't go bas arayv. You have to eat on Yom Kippur. But you still try to minimize the issa.
That's still considered a violation of halacha?
It's beheter. It's mutter. But the Gemara says you should try to do the lesser of the two evils. If you have a choice of saving your life by eating this or this, and this is karis and this is lav, so violate the lav, don't violate. And then, since you have a heter, so you're not violating anything. You're not violating anything.
Kurl is the same issa, just
kurl more objects.
But it's the same issa.
Yeah. And Moisef is, if it's Moisef, more people. So the second Issa is more inclusive than people.
There's a different
Issa. By Moisef,
it's not the same
Issa. Well, also, it's a different
Issa. Was Almana one of the
Prusha? No, first she was an Almana.
Right.
By the first husband, the first husband.
We added on a different.
So after the first husband died, she's only Asura to a Kohen Gadol. Then she marries anybody other than a Kohen Gadol. And then the second husband gives her a get. So now she became a grusha on top of an almana.
That's not the same issa. We have a different issa.
Every time when you talk about issa chalal issa, the second one is always a different issa. You're always talking about...
The first one we said it's also...
No, let's say you have non-kosher nevela. And then comes Yom Kippur. There's an issa Yom Kippur. We're always talking a second issa is going to be chal on top of the first issa. So the Gemara over here has a suggestion that machlokes hatanoim later in the perek, where the Gid Anoshe applies to elephants and horses and non-kosher animals and donkeys and camels. The Gemara suggests the machlokes is in Hilchas Issa Chalal Issa. Why? Not, you see, the Gemara in two different places has two different explanations. The simple explanation is, when the Chumash prohibits Gid Anoshe, the implication is, the whole animal is kosher except for this section, the Gidon Nasha. But if the whole animal is not kosher anyway, so the Torah never formulated the prohibition of Gidon Nasha there. Now the Machlekes Satanoim, whether Noig B'Tameyo or not Noig B'Tameyo, where the Gidon Nasha applies to horses and donkeys and so on, is a Shaila. If Gidon Nasha was given to Yaakov Avinu, at that time there was no prohibition against eating non-kosher animals. So then Gidon Nasha applied even to the elephants and to the horses. So then after Matan Torah, when the elephants and the horses became Asa Bachilo, so you don't say, all of a sudden, now the Gidon Asha of elephant is Mutta. Only has an Issa elephant, doesn't have an Issa Gidon Asha. No. If originally, in the days of Yaakov Avinu, the mitzvah of Gidon Asha was given, and then it applied even to horses and elephants, so it remains like that. But if the Issa Gidon Asha began after Matan Torah, and after Matan Torah there was a prohibition against eating horse meat, so then you don't need the Issa Gidon Asha. You can't eat anything from the horse anyway. So that's one explanation. Machlekes Hatanaim, whether Noig B'Treif, Noig B'Tmeya, where the Gidon Asha applies to the non-kosher animals, is a historical machlekes. When was the Issa Gidon Asha given? Our Gemara here is going to have a different interpretation than machlekes. Machlekes is an issue of Issa Chalal Issa. We know that the Behemoth Tmeya is not kosher, and when animals are developing in the womb of the mother animal, so first, it starts off a very tiny piece of flesh. And the Gidim developed later. So first, the animal started to develop without any Gidon Asha. Gidon Asha comes later. That's how the Gemara says over here. So first, there was already an Issa of non-kosher animal on the whole thing. And then later, when the Gid develops, so is the Issa Gid chal on top of Behemoth Tmeo? Should you say Issa chal al Issa? So the Gemara says, maybe that's the machlokes. If you hold the Gid Anasha, even applies to people kodem matan Torah, so it's noig to more people. The rest of the Torah only applies to the people who are born after matan Torah. People who were born before matan Torah, the Yankov Avinu's children, weren't given all of these mitzvahs. So the Gemara suggests, maybe that should be called an Issa Moisef. Since the Issa Gid Anasha even applies to the Jewish people kodem matan Torah, maybe that should be considered an Issa Moisef that applies to more people. That's a funny pshat. That's how the Gemara is going to assume over here. That's the Machlekes HaTanaim. So let's start again. Let's start the Perek again. So the Mishnah says, it says the same as Kisi Adam. A couple of prokem. I start off like this. This mitzvah, this din Gid Anasha, applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Loretz. Okay. Applies b'fnei habayis, v'shelo b'fnei habayis. Doesn't matter whether there is a Beis HaMikdash standing or not. B'chulin of a Mikdashin. It applies even to animals that are karbonis. Also, there's a din, he spoke last week, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel that says when you're going to bring wine, l'nasech ala mizbech, has to be kosher wine. When you bring an animal to be makre, it has to be a kosher animal. You can't be makre of a treifa. You can't be makre of a treifa, because mimashki iso min amutal iso. The pasuk says you can only use wine that's kosher wine. If you're going to have wine that's made from orlo, grapes that grew the first 3 years of Kloy Akerem, so that's not Mutal Yisrael. So Gid Anasha is Aser. So the Pashto says when you want to burn, let's say you have Karban Oila, you want to burn the whole Oila on the Mizbech, you have to remove the Gid Anasha, not to be Makrevit on the Mizbech, because the Gid Anasha is Treif. So that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. Is that really so? The Gid Anasha is part of a whole animal. So Karban Oila, you burn the whole thing, so maybe you should leave the Gid Anasha. Maybe what it means is, if you detach the Gid Anasha from the Karban Oila, if you detach the Gid Anasha from the Karban Oila, then you shouldn't put it on the Mizbech to burn it. But if it's still attached, maybe you burn the whole thing the way it is. Maybe the prohibition of the Mashkei Som and Amutal Yisrael, you're not allowed to be makar of karbonis that are not kosher, means the whole bottle of wine that you want to pour, Nasach on the Mizbech, the whole wine is Orla Klei Akera. But if you makar of a big chunk of an animal, a quarter of an animal, and has a little bit of Gid Anasha in it, maybe that's mutter to burn on the mizbech. So
why wouldn't that be true with the dam?
The Gemara asked the question: How are you ever zorik dam on the mizbeach? The dam is treif. Dam is b'mashke yisro. So the Gemara says that's different. Why is it different? So the Ksav Sefer has a separate sefer on chulin, where he interprets like this. You read the Psukim and Chumash, it says in Chumash, you're not allowed to eat Chelev Adam because the Dam and the Chelev are designated for Karbonis. Even if the animal that you're eating the Chelev Adam is not a carbon, even if it's an animal that can't be brought as a carbon, let's say chickens are never brought as a carbon on the Mizbech. Torma ben Ayoina are brought in Oifus, in fowl, so you bring doves, you bring Torma ben Ayoina. But you don't bring chickens, you don't bring turkeys on the Mizbech. But still, dam of a turkey is also. But the whole prohibition of dam, the whole prohibition of chelev, is because these are designated for karbonis. So when do you say, that's what the Ksav Sefer interprets in the Gemara, when do you say that you're not allowed to be makar of on the Mizbech, something that's treif? It starts off as being treif, so then it's not right. How do you makar of it l'shaman? But here the dam and the chelev are a treif because it's chelka shel gavoya. It's supposed to be designated only for the carbon. So it's not right that we should shear. We're not supposed to eat that. That's chelka gavoya. So you can't turn around now and say, oh, since it's treif, I can be makrovin. The whole reason why it's treif is because it's supposed to be special. It's supposed to be separated only for carbonous purposes. So that's what the Gemara says. Chelka v'dam is an exception to the rule. Dam of v'tmeya is also an isa dam. Also has an isadam. Dam of all animals has an isadam.
But if it's because of Nakasha was makrovan
on the Mizbeach. Tmei is never brought on the Mizbeach. Right. But chickens are never brought. Chayas are also never brought on the Mizbeach. You never makrov chayas on the Mizbeach. Still, dam of a chayas is the same as dam of a behem. So dam of a behem at tmei is also. Only dam of fish is not called dam. But dam of all the animals is called dam. So the Mishnah says that the prohibition of eating Gid Anasha applies b'chulin uvel mikdashin. It's going to be a discussion in the Gemara doesn't mean if you have a carbon oiler, you must cut out to get on the Osha. You're not allowed to be makrivit on the Mizbech. Well, no, it means if you have a carbon chatos and the carbon are going to eat it, so they shouldn't eat to get on the Osha. But maybe, okay, well, Yochel B'nai Yisrael is get on the Osha. Jewish people are not allowed to eat get on the Osha. The Mizbech can eat get on the Osha. So that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. What does it mean to make a Kedosha? Fine. Then it says, we'll continue a little bit. We're not going to finish the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah holds, that's how we paskin. Get on Osha applies to either the back leg is the leg. The front legs are called hands and the back legs are called legs. So it applies both to the back right leg and to the back left leg. And one Tana and the Gemara is going to disagree. The Gemara is going to work a lot about that. The Tana Reb Yudah disagrees. We don't accept his opinion. He says it only applies to the right leg. Gemara's going to try to figure out how did he figure that. How did he know that? It doesn't say in the Chumash, how did he know that it only applies to the right leg? So the Mishnah says it applies to the right leg and to the left leg. That's how we paskin. And we divide all the animals into three groups. There's Behema, Chaya, V'Of. So we said that the Chelev is only also by Behema. Chelev Chaya, Chelev Behema, Chelev Of, Amutu. And also V'Ezbeno only applies to Behema. It doesn't apply to Chaya, it doesn't apply to Of. Kise Adam only applies to Chaya Ve'of, and it doesn't apply to Behema. So Giranosh applies to Behema and to Chaya, and doesn't apply to Of. And the Mishnah gives a funny reason, because there's a biological reason. There's She'en Lo Kaf. Torah says, you're not allowed to Giranosh, Asher Kaf HaYorech. There's the tall bone that goes up to the knee. So on top of the knee, there's like a cap that goes, what do you call this? What do you call the semicircle?
Moon?
In plain English, what do you call it? I forgot about it. So the top of the tall leg, the tall bone that leads up to the knee, so on top of the knee, it goes like a semicircle on top. So the Gemara says that the oaf also has a calf. But it's not ogle. It's not a semicircle on top. So that's why biologically the oaf is different from the behema and the chai. Okay, fine. Okay, so let's see the Gemara. We're going to have to learn some more from the Mishnah soon. Let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, Mugdoshim, what's the chiddush in the Mishnah that Giranosh applies to behema shel hegdish? The animal was born 6 months ago, and then I donated as a korban. Shlomim a korban oila, korban chatas, I was machal Shabbos b'shege, korban chatas, korban asham. So the Mishnah tells me a chiddush that the issa giranosh applies even to an animal which was designated as a korban. Before I was magdashit, I was magdashit before it was born. It was born a couple of months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. Then I donated. Then I magdashit as a korban. Mar said pshita, of course giranosh applies. The first 6 months before I was magdashit, it was a normal behemah schulin, so there was an issi giranosha. Would I think mishum da agdasha because I was magdashit at the age of 6 months? Pokale issi gidmine. So the issi giranosha should be removed for the first 6 months of his life. It had an issi giranosha. So what's the chiddush in the Mishnah that the issi giranosha still remains even though the animal was hugdash? I v'chitem, or maybe you'll tell me that this is what the Mishnah means to tell me. If you eat the giranosha, let's say we said there's a machlekes hatana whether the prohibition of giranosha applies to a horse. So one tana holds it applies to horses also, tanan ka beima tmeya. So if you eat the giranosha with beima tmeya, that tana says you'll get two more malkas. You get one malkas because you're eating non kosher horse meat, get another malkas because you're eating the giranosha. If you eat any other part of the horse, there's one time malkas because it's a beima tmeya. If you eat the giranosha of the horse, you get two times malchus. So the Gemara says, v'chi teima. Maybe you'll tell me that that's what the Mishnah is driving at. The giranosha is noig b'mugdoshim, means that you get tzvei mal malchus. If you eat the giranosha of a korban, the Mishnah means to say, v'chi teima yesh begidin b'naisin tam. We got to explain that. That's another machleka satanoi. Whether yesh begidin b'naisin tam, ain't begidin b'naisin tam, means like this. The flesh of the animal is besar behema. Let's say you have the hoofs of the animal. Let's say I have a horse, and I take the hoofs, and I grind them up, and I eat it. So do I get malchus for eating horse meat? Mar says, no. Let's say you have an animal that has horns. and you grind up the horns and you eat it. So do you get malchus? No. The iser, the lav der isa, maybe it's also the rabbanon. Okay, the Rambam says also the rabbanon. But is there an iser der isa? No. The iser is besar behemoth meya. If you eat the flesh of a non-kosher animal, if you eat the horns, or you take a bone, you take a hard bone. The marrow inside the bone is mamish dina kibasa. Let's say you have a hard bone and you grind it up, hard bone from an elephant, and you grind it up and you eat it. So atzamas, karnayim, tlofim, the hooves and the horns, this is not vasar. So if you eat that from a non-kosher animal, you're not going to get malchus. So there was a machlekes hataram. The gid anasha doesn't taste so good at all. So there is a machlekes in the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether you say yesh begidin benoisen tam, whether you say the gid is dina kibosar. Din is dina kibosa. So if you eat the gid anasha of a non-kosher animal, you get tzvein mol malchus. Once because he ate besar behemet meya, and second malchus because he ate the gid anasha. Or should I say no? Ein begidin benoisen tam. Gid anasha is like eight. Rashi quotes the lashon for the gemara. Eitzu v'tora osrose. It's like a shtikholz. It doesn't taste like flesh. It's not considered macholas asur. It's not roi lachila. Basically, it's not roi lachila. Torah says you're not allowed to eat it, but it's not really roi lachim. So what's the difference halacha l'maisa? With the yesh begin minas tam, ein begin minas tam. There's a din of tam ki'ikar. Din of tam ki'ikar is like this. Let's say I have a candy, and the candy bar has a non-kosher ingredient. You have cookies, you have cakes, you have all kinds of food. It has a non-kosher ingredient. The non-kosher ingredient is less than 50%. Of the ingredients in the thing. So why don't you say that it's bottled berayv? That we learn out from a pasuk in Chumash that things are bottled berayv. So the answer is, but there's a good reason why they put in the non-kosher ingredient. They want to enhance the flavor. So even though it's less than 50%, but they put in this non-kosher ingredient that you should taste the flavor. So since it's nice and tam, so we say tam ki ikar. Since I can taste the flavor, even though it's less than 50%, I don't say that it's bottled, right? I say it's still us. The thing is still us. So this din of tam kikar only applies by macholas asuras. Take, for example, if a non-Jew cooks food, so the rabbis prohibited bishul akum. You're not allowed to eat kosher food. I'm watching the way my next-door neighbor buys kosher flesh in the butcher store, in the kosher butcher store. He has a brand new oven and brand new kelim, and he cooks it in front of me. All the ingredients are kosher. Everything is kosher. So the din is I'm not allowed to eat it. Why are you not allowed to eat bishul akum? So the Gemara says that we're afraid that if you become too friendly with the nochri, you'll eat the food that the nochri cook. So we say that we're afraid that it may lead to intermarriage. Bishul akum is also because of chasnas. May lead into marriage.
It does. The mice, when people are very friendly and they go to their houses, it usually does.
Yeah. It does, yes. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a big machlokes harishonim. What does this mean? Let's say a person is going to date a nochris. He's going to dance with the nochris. He's going to take her on a date. So that's not an isa macholas asuras. That's an isa. It's going to lead to intermarriage. He's spending time with the nochris. So the prohibition that you're not allowed to eat bishul akum is an isa because it's too much hiskarvus with the nochris because it can lead to intermarriage. Or should I say, no, this is different. To dance with the nochris and to take her on a date, that's an isa hiskaris that can lead to intermarriage. The reason why they prohibited bishul akum is because this too can lead to intermarriage, but since it's food, so they labeled it as macholas asuris. It's trefa food. What's a nafkamina? What's the difference when they say it's an isa macholas asuris because it's food? Or it's not an isa macholas asuris, it's an isa hiskaris. The difference is there's a major machlekes in Rishonim. If you have, let's say, a little food that was cooked by the nochri and it gets mixed in with kosher food, do you need shishim? But he say, no, it's bottled berayv. So if you declare that midrabbanan, they declared it as macholas asuras. The reason why they prohibited it is because it can lead to intermarriage. But then they prohibited it, and it's food. So they declared, the bishalakum is macholos asuris. So then, if a little bit of bishalakum gets mixed in with kosher food, you'll need shishin. It won't be batel beroiv. We don't pass like that. We pass on that as batel beroiv. It's not a nisa. They never declared it as macholos asuris. They both say that's the halacha. It's batel beroiv. It's a nisa hiskar. It's not a nisa macholos asuris. Then there's another nafkamina la halacha. Let's say, when we learned the beginning of Behema Hamkasha, so the Rosh has a machlekes with the Ramban. We discussed it. The Rosh has a machlekes. The Mishnah tells you if the animal breaks a kosher cow, breaks its leg in a certain location, then the whole animal is a treifa. But if it breaks the leg an inch higher, then it's not a treifa. So the Ramban Hatakasha, if the animal has a broken leg exactly where it makes it a treifa, so take a saw and cut off another inch, and then shecht it. If the animal would have broken a leg an inch higher, it would have not been a treifos. It only broke it by the tzumas agidin. So it's a treifos. It break a leg, cut off another inch, then it'll be kosher. Ramban says, anachinami. The shechet didn't have the presence of mind to cut off another inch. If he would have cut off another inch, it would be chozer lehechsherim. So the Rosh says, that's ridiculous. When the Gemara you see, treif ain't a chozer lehechsherim. If you have an animal, if you have food that was declared as macholos asuris, it can't become mutter again. There's no such thing. Once the food is treif, it remains treif. It can't become kosher again. So that's the shaila. Let's say a nochri cooked some food. How much did the nochri cook it? So let's say the nochri took some steaks and he broiled it, and it's rare. He broiled it kemachol ben risoy, shlish bishuloi, only shlish bishul. So it's machol. It's bishulakum. It's bishulakum. It's anisa. Then a Jew takes this steak and he cooks it some more till it's mavushal kotsarkai. So do you say, even though yesterday it was treif, it could be reversed, he can make it kosher? But do you say, no, once it's treif, it remains treif. So if the din would have been, which it isn't, if the din would have been that it's macholos asuris, and you need shishin because it's tamti ikir, then we would have said treif ein achazeres lachshera. Once the nochri cooked it till the point of Michael ben derisoi, and it's bishalakum, then it's not going to help. Even if the Jew is going to continue to cook it more, it'll still remain awesome. But we don't pass. We pass on that it's not macholos asuris. We pass on that bishalakum is an isa hiskar. It's like dating a goya. It's like dancing with a nochri. It's going to lead to intermarriage. So eating the bishalakum is also, it's not macholos asuris. It's just a hiskarbus with the nochri. So if the nochri cooked it, kamachal ben nursa, you're not allowed to eat. You don't say that it's treif. You're not allowed to eat it because it can lead to marriage, intermarriage, and then Yisrael continues to cook it some more till it's mavushal kol tzarkai, then it takes off the Yisrael. It will no longer be bishalak.
Can you be mevatel it lechatchila?
What do you mean, mevatel it lechatchila?
Be mevatel it lechatchila. Is mevatel this lechatchila because it's not an Yisrael?
To mix it in roiv? No, that's not.
But it's not an
Isra,
it's a
Iskarvus. It's not an Isra Achila, but it's an Isra Iskarvus. I want to be Mevatle Beroib, so we don't permit people. I want to be Mevatle this thing, so that there won't be an Isra Iskarvus. You're not allowed to be Mevatle.
If I have non-kosher meat from a non-kosher animal, and I cook it, so obviously it's straight. But then let's say I keep cooking it until it's ashes. Would it still be treif even when it's ashes, or does it revert to? I mean, it's
once it becomes ashes, then it's not royal achila, then it's mutter.
Right. So I mean, should I think of it as an exception to the rule that once something becomes treif, it can't become?
No. Once it becomes treif and it's ochel, then it can't become kosher. But if you burn it till it turns into ashes, then it's not royal achila. Anything that's not royal achila can't be macholos asuris. Yeah. So there is a machlokes hatanaim where they say yesh begidim b'dayin tam ein begidim b'dayin tam. The Torah, the gid anosha doesn't taste so good. So the question is, not all the parts of the bottom of the chicken doesn't taste schmaltzier than the top of the chicken. Also, different parts of the chicken don't taste the same, but it all has the tam abasa. So should I say yesh begidin b'raisa tam gedanosh has a shvacha flavor, but it's meichel, and the Torah prohibited. And if you eat gedanosh of a non-kosher animal, asvar that you get tzvei mol malchus. If you hold isa chal al isa, you get two times malchus. So should I say no? Ain begidin b'raisa tam. Gid is eitzus, like a shtickholz, it doesn't, it's not considered like bus. It's like kanaim utlofim, like atzomus ha-koshes. Like you'll take a bone of an elephant and you grind it up. Or you take the hoofs or you take the horns of an animal, you grind it, of a non-kosher animal, grind it up and you eat it. That's not besar behemet tmeya. So maybe Gidon Noshe is also eight bi'almo v'atoyras rasi. So that's a machlekes. We happen to paskin ain't begidim menaisin tam. Ain't begidim menaisin tam. That's a Mishnah later. That's what we better go through it now. There's a Mishnah later. The Gemara quotes everything here. Here, Tzadik Vav Amid Beis, there's a Mishnah. The person has a whole chunk of the behemoth with the Gidon Noshe in it. He doesn't cut out the Gidon Noshe. Yerech, he has the whole side of the animal. And his Bashel Bo Gidon Noshe. He cooks the whole side of the animal with, he salted it, removed all the dam. Then he cooks it with the Gidon Noshe. So the Mishnah says, Gidon Noshe asks with Nesinas Tam. Has Tam Kike? It's Macholas Asurus. It's Roy Lachilo. Dina Kibasa Roy Lachilo. Vyesh Bo Menes and Tam. Areis Asura. If the Gidon Noshe succeeds in transmitting the flavor to the rest of the Yerech, to the rest of the behemoth, that means you don't have Shishim, then it's going to be Aser. You don't say that it's Batul Beroiv, you say that it's Macholas Asuris, and there's a Din of Tam Kiyah Kemeret Aser. And we don't paskin like the Mishnah, we paskin against the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes it later. Where is this in the Gemara? Here, this Gemara is on Tzadik Tes Amid Beis. Sarik Tes on the base. The Gemara has about 15 lines from the bottom. The line ends with the word Hahu. The next line begins Hahu da osa lekame de Rab Chanina. About 13 lines from the bottom. A balabas came to ask a shada Rab Chanina. Avias Rab Yudah Bazvina Above. So there was one Amara was sitting outside of the room by the door, and there was the Talmid Chacham sitting inside. The Dayan was sitting inside. So he had a shayla. He came to the dine. Kinofik, when the balabas came out, Amalei, my Amalach, what was the psak? What did he find? What happened was, he cooked the whole side of the animal with the Gidon Noshe in it, and there was no shishit against the Gidon Noshe. So the Talmid Chacham outside asked, what did the dine paskin? He said, Amalei, Sharia Nahalei. He told me that it's kosher. Amalei, said the Talmid Chacham outside of the door, said, go back and ask him again. I mean, he paskin wrong. Because the Mishnah says, if you cook yesh and his bashal begidom yesh bo menas and tamaso, there was no shishim. So he said, you better ask him again. So he goes and he asks again. Hoder ayle lekame, go ask again. So he goes in and he asks the shayla again. So the dayan inside was upset. So he said, who's this nudnik who sent you in again? I said it's kosher. Why is he bothering me? I'm a manhai. Who's this guy to call Mitzayli? Who's annoying me? Zilei Malei, go tell the character who sent you in again. The Madiyas of Abba, but tell the one who's sitting on the outside. The din is ain't begid them in Eisentam. That's all. And then the Gemara says, that's how we paskin the last line. Hilchasa ain't begid them in Eisentam. We paskin against the Mishnah. Samachleik is Hatarai. The Mishnah in Tzadik Vav Amid Beis says, if you cooked the Yerech, you had the whole animal, you removed the dam, you salted it, there's no dam. But you didn't remove the Gidon Noshe, and you cooked it with the Gidon Noshe, so it makes the whole thing treif, unless you have shishim. As if you have shishim, and there's none in Sinas Tam. And we paskin against the Mishnah. We assume that it doesn't have sufficient flavor. It's not dinikei basar, and it's not considered really roi lachila. It's an issa. You're not allowed to eat it, but you can't call it macholas asur. It's not roi lachila. It's like ashes. But over here, the Torah asa the ashes. Over here, Torah asa. But you can't say it's macholas asur. So therefore, the whole din of Tam Kiyika doesn't apply. That's how we pass. So now the Gemara is going to discuss that issue here. Again, the opening Mishnah in the Perikon Pei Tes on the base says that the prohibition of giving on Noshe applies equally to Chulin and to Mugdoshin. It applies to Behemas Chulin, and even if you're Magdoshin, the Isigit on Noshe still applies. So the Gemara said, what's the Chiddush? For the last 6 months, the animal was born 6 months ago. For the last 6 months, I had an Isigit on Noshe. Why should I think that? Because I was Magdashit today, the Isigit on Noshe disappears. So the Gemara says, and maybe what the Mishnah means to tell me is like this. V'chiteima, maybe you'll tell me like this. The Mishnah means to say, Yesh begin the Menai Sintam. That's the Chiddush. When I'm Magdash the Behemah, the Isik Hegdash is Chal on the Gidon Noshe. This Ekdish is not chal on the toenails, it's not chal on the hooves, it's not chal on the horns, it's not chal on the hard bones. The Issa Ekdish is only chal on basar oila, on basar. Whoever eats an oila is over on the ila. No one's supposed to eat the carbon oila. A chatas is an Issa. A non-coin is not allowed to eat a chatas. So if a non-coin eats basar ha-chatas, he gets malchus. If a non-coin eats the karnaim, the tlofim, and the gidim, he doesn't get malchus because it's not dina kibosar. The Gemara says maybe that's what the Mishnah is driving at. The gid anosh is noig b'mukdoshim doesn't mean that it still retains the isa gid anosh. That's the pshita. When it was born, it had an isa gid anosh because a year later or 6 months later, a magdash, the isa gid anosh is not going to go away. The chitema, maybe you'll tell me, the Mishnah is telling me like this. When you magdash it, not only will it retain the isa gid anosh that it had the last 6 months, but the Issa Hegdash will be chal on top of the Issa Gidan Nashe, because Yesh begid the Menoise Tam and is Dina Kebosar. Vasi Issa Megdash and Mechayal like the Issa Gid. That's what the Mishnah meant to say, that the Issa Hegdash is chal on top of the Issa Gid, because the Gid is Dina Kebosar. So the Gemara says, then the Mishnah wrote it poorly. The Mishnah says, Gidan Nashe is Noig Bu Megdashim, and should have said, Hegdash is Noig Bu Gidan Nashe. The Mishnah is written backwards. Track the Gemara. Hi, Mekdoshim Noi B'Gid Anoshim and Boilu should say Fakir. These are Hegdish is Chal even on Gid Anoshim because Gid Anoshim is Dina Kibosar. So you can't say Pshat like that. The Gemara says, Ella, maybe you'll say Pshat like this. We don't understand that line in the Mishnah. Isn't it so Pshita that the Issa Gid Anoshim, if the Behem is 6 months old, then the Issa Gid Anoshim was Chal 6 months ago. And on Magdish today, why should you think the Issa Gid Anoshim should disappear? You tell me that Gid Anosh applies even in Chutz Loretz. Okay, maybe the story about Yankov Avinu happened in Eretz Yisrael, the fighting with the Malos, and maybe you'll think it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Tell me it applies Shalom Bifnei Abayis, maybe it has to do with Karbonis, even Shalom Bifnei Abayis. But this Chiddush that it applies even in Karbonis, Avada even in Karbonis. For the first 6 months when it was Chul and it had an Issa Gid Anosh, how should the Issa disappear? So maybe Pshat HaMishnah is Faket Elo Kasov, and maybe you tell me like this. The Tana in the Mishnah holds Ein Begidin B'Nois and Tam, the Eitzu V'Torah Asrasoi, and if it's Mugdashim, is a Gid Ike, is a Mugdashim Leko. Maybe the Mishnah means to say Fakir, Gid Anosha is Noig B'Mugdashim. If you eat the Gid Anosha of a carbon, you're only in violation of the Issa Gid Anosha, you're not in violation of the Issa Hegdish. Because Ein Begidin B'Nois and Tam, so it's like eating the horns or the hooves of the animal. So the Gemara said, maybe that's what the Mishnah is driving at, the Fakert, that ain't the Gidin B'Nois and Tam, and in the Mekdoshim it only has the Issa Gid, doesn't have the Issa Mekdoshim. So then the Gemara says, that Pshat is impossible, that's not correct. V'sova Tana Didan, is that true? That the Tana and the Mishnah in this parak is of the opinion, ain't the Gidin B'Nois and Tam, but Tanan, you have the Mishnah we just looked at on Tzarek Vav and Mebeis. Yershan is Bashabal Gidin Hashem, Yesh B'Nois and Tam, is Asur. The Mishnah holds Yesh B'Gidin B'Nois and Tam. The Gemara says we don't paskan like the Mishnah. That's what we just saw before. The Mishnah in Tzarek Vav HaMebei says, Yesh begidin b'nois en tam. If you cook the yerech with the gid, everything becomes treif. And then the Gemara said, we don't paskan like that. That was the last line that Tzarek Tess HaMebei said. The Gemara said, we don't paskan like the Mishnah. But you can't interpret our Mishnah, this is all the same perek. You can't interpret our Mishnah that the Mishnah means to say, the Issa Gid Anosh is noyig b'mukdoshim, the Issa Hegdash is not noyig. Because Ein Begid Menos and Tam is not Bosa. That's not correct. The Tana in the Mishnah holds the Yesh Begid Menos and Tam. That's what the Gemara says. But Sova Tana Dan, can you interpret that our Tana and our Perek thinks Ein Begid Menos and Tam is not true? But Tana in the Mishnah holds Yesh Begid Menos and Tam. So we have this line in the Mishnah is very schwer. Why does it say that Gid Anosh is Noig B'Mekdoshim? What's the Mishnah driving at? So the Gemara stands on the head and they come up with this suggestion. It's a very wild, it's an ukimta pshat. Very strange. You have a Mishnah that sounds like it's saying a clear-cut din, and then the Gemara says only refers to one specific case, a very rare case. That's called an ukimta. Very rare. How can you use that sign of pshat like that? So the answer is the Mishnayis are the Torah Shebal Peh. So there, it started off, there was a din, you're not allowed to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. It's supposed to transmit Torah Shebal Peh, Bal Peh. And then they saw Islas Lashem Efer Teresecha. They saw that Torah Shebal Peh is going to be forgotten because you're not going to write it down and everyone's going to remember it differently. So they said, you got to write it down. So when they first wrote it down, so they just wrote down Bekitzer. So sometimes they would write down Rosh Yiprokim, they would write like there's a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, there's a Mishnah. Shum kesev, shava kesev, if neyeni, menechorim, benebris. It's not even a sentence. It's not only, it's not a paragraph, it's not a sentence. It's like headings, like titles. Shum kesev is a remis to a din. Shava kesev is a remis to a different din. If neyenim is a different din, benechorim, benebris, each one is a different din. You don't even have a sentence, because they didn't want to write down the Torah Shabbat, so they wrote it down to the extent that they'll remember. So that's what the Gemara sometimes, every so often, the Gemara will interpret a Mishnah, that it's talking about a rare, special case that the din applies. So why does the Mishnah mislead you? Mishnah is not misleading. They didn't write the Mishnah as a full sentence or a full paragraph. They wanted just to make sure Torah Shabbat shouldn't be forgotten. So every so often you have a Mishnah that gives you barichas. You have a whole essay in the Mishnah. That's very rare. That you have a full paragraph in the Mishnah is very unusual, very rare. But more common is you'll have sometimes a line in the Mishnah that's very cryptic, and it's just to remind you that there's a case, there's one rare case that the din will be like that. So that's what the Gemara is giving in Ukimta. The Gemara is Zetzin Gaim Pshat and Ukimta Pshat. Elohacha, maybe the Mishnah is talking about a special case. But what is Kachim Askin? Special case. Somebody was Magdish, let's say, Achatos, in a keva. They were Magdish, a female animal. A Korban Oila has to be a Zohar, so it can't be in a keva. A shlomen can be either a zacher or a keva. Chatas can be in a keva. Korban Pesach has to be a zacher. Can't be in a keva. So if you're magdish, a female animal is a korban. Fine. Very good. And then it gives birth. So what do you do with the vlad? I was only magdish the mother. I was never magdish the vlad. Let's say I'm magdish a korban, and then 10 months later it gives birth. It wasn't even pregnant at the time I was magdish. Then it gives birth 10 months later. So it became pregnant after the hakdosha. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk in Chumash. Rakara shecha shiur lochanu derecha tiso vasa. You should bring all the karbonis to the Beis Hamikdash. And it repeats it a few times. So the Gemara has a comment. What is the same lochamol? You should bring all the karbonis. We know already. How many times has to keep on saying the same thing? You're not allowed to do shchit chutz. You're not allowed to make a bomber wherever you want. There was a zman heta bomas. Okay, there was a time that there was a heta bomas. The first, when they crossed, in the Midbar, there was no Hetabomis. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, till they crossed over there, and there was no Hetabomis. For the first 14 years in Eretz Yisrael, till the end of Kibush V'Chiluk, so the Mishkan was in Gilgal, and then there was a Hetabomis at that time. That's the Mishnah at the end of Zvachim. The last paragraph of Zvachim says, when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, there was a Hetabomis. Then right after Kibush V'Chiluk, when they accomplished Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, immediately they moved the Mishkan to Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh, there was an Issa Bomas. Mishkan Shiloh was like a Beis HaMikdash, had a din of a Beis HaMikdash. Then that Mishkan Shiloh lasted for quite a few years, I think a couple of hundred years. And then there was Chorev. The Goyim destroyed Mishkan Shiloh. So after Mishkan Shiloh was Chorev, then there was again a Heter Bomas. So there was a Bomak Doilo, and then there was a Bomak Tana. Bomak Doilo was first the Nov, Irakonim, and then people made Bomak Tana, their own Bomas. Then Nov was destroyed, so then they made a Bomek Doyla in Givon. Nov and Givon were not at the same time first, but Nov for years. And when the Goyim destroyed Nov, then they made a Bomek Doyla in Givon. So this man had the Bomas, people made a Bomas Yochim. So the so the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to be Makrav Karbonis, this man Yisad Bomas, you're not allowed to be Makrav Karbonis wherever you darn please. You have to bring all the karbonis to the Beis HaMikdash. But it says it so many times. Why is it repeated so many times? The Gemara said, this pasuk, Vakar Shecha Asher Yihiyu Lach, is referring to Vlodas Kachin. If you are Magdish, a female animal, for Korban Chatos or Korban Shlomim, you can't be Magdish, a female animal, for Korban Pesach, has to be a Zoch. It can't be Magdish for Korban Oilo, has to be a Zoch. But a Shlomim can be a Zoch or a Nikeva. And a chatas has to be dafken a keva. So if you're magdish a female animal and then it gives birth to a vlad, so the vlad is also a kodesh. So what do you do with it? So let's say if it's a chatas, so what are you going to do? The guy was bechal Shabbos once. He's mafresh a korban chatas. So you're going to be makrav this one and the vlad also. So the Gemara says, no, he better got a kapara with his makrav the mother. So the Gemara has a din, vlad chatas mesa. You have to lock it up in a room and let it die. Starvation, a halacha moshe misina, special thing. Let's say it's a vlad of shlomim. Shlomim could be either a zacher or a nekeva. So he's makdish and a keva, and then he gives birth 10 months later. He should have been makrid. It shouldn't wait 10 months. Should have been makrid right away. It didn't makrid it right away. So he gave birth. So the pasuk says that the mother is korev as hashlam and the vlad is korev as hashlam. So it's learned up in the pasuk. Rak harshecha asheyihi ulach tisu vasa lamokim. Asheyihi ulach means they will be born. So if it's vlad is kachim, become kodesh. So there's a machlekes hatanoim regarding that din. Vlad is kachim, become kodesh. When do they become kodesh? Only from the time they're born? Or do you say they're kodesh as they're growing inside the mother's womb, inside the rechem of the mother, which is a korban? Vlad is kachim, imei imon hen kedoshim, when they're before they're even born? Do you say no, bahaviyosim hen kedoshim, only when they're born? What is the loshen bahaviyosim? Haviyosim means when they're born. Because that's the lashon of the pasuk. Rak karashecha sheyihi ulach. Karashecha sheyihi ulach is referring to the vladis kachim that are born. You are magdish, a female carbon, and it gave a carbon, and it gave birth to a vlad. So that pasuk says, vladis that are born also have kedusha. You also have to bring it to the base amigdash to be makrevit. So one tana is of the opinion, sheyihi ulach, v'haviyosim hen kedushim. They only become kodesh when they're born. And the other opinion is that the Bimeim and Hankadoshim is Kodesh right away. So the Gemara suggests this problematic line. We're not sure what the Mishnah is driving at. The second, third line in our Mishnah, that Giranash applies to Chulin and Mugdoshim. Of course it applies to Mugdoshim. You magdish the animal when it's 6 months old. For the last 6 months it had an Issa Giranash. Why shouldn't it continue to have an Issa? Why the Issa Giranash should disappear? The Gemara says maybe. See, the whole problem was the last 6 months, it was before you were Magdash, it had an Issa Giranasha. How can the Issa Giranasha disappear? So Gemara has an Einfeld. You weren't Magdash 6 months after it was born. It became Kodesh together. It was born of the mother was a Korban. Not that the animal was born and it was Chulin for the last 6 months or the last 2 years, and then you Magdash it. No, it was born Kodesh right away. It was born from a mother. That was a korban. So al came what? So there's no issue that it was already chal nisa giranasha, and you're wondering what's the chiddush now. No, it's talking el hacha b'vladis kachim askin, and maybe the Mishnah is an okimta case. It's talking. It's to remind us that there's a special case where the din will be that you get svei mol malkus. If you eat the giranasha of a korban, you get malkus because it's a korban. The Mishnah holds yesh begidin minayis and tam. So the giranasha is dina kibasar. So if you eat, let's say a tome will eat the giranasha of a shlamim. So that's like eating bizar shlamim. A tome who eats a shlamim gets malchus. It's a lav in the Torah. A person is tome not allowed to eat a carbon. So if the person will eat the giranasha of a shlamim, he'll get zvei more malchus. He's eating giranasha and he's also eating shlamim in a state of tumah. So the Gemara says, maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Ha'achah b'vlad is kachim askinon. Because Sov and the Tana is taking a stand on this machloikis, which is in Zvachim. The Tana is of the opinion, Nochamol, Tana, el ha'achah b'vlad is kachim askinon, because Sov and noig b'shlil. So the Issa Giranasha begins even before the animal is born. Because Sov and b'vlad is kachim, the me'im and he'en kedoshim. So the Kedushas korban is chal when it's still a fetus. Before it's born, you don't say b'habayasim hen kedoshim. Only when it's born. No, the pasuk v'akarashecha sheiulach is sheiulach means when an animal that's born to a carbon, but it's kaddish even before it's born. It's kaddish when it's still inside the mother's womb. So there won't be an issur of there won't be an issue of ein issur chal al issur because the both issurim v'chal simultaneously. When the fetus was developing inside the mother's rechem, inside the mother's body, so the issur Hegdish was chal, and the Issa Giranasha was chal. When the Gid developed, the Issa Giranasha was chal simultaneously. So there's no issue of an Issa chal al Issa, because it's an Issa basachas. It two Issurim were chal together, b'mei imon. Hocha b'vlad is kach maskin, because so were the Tanas of the opinion, noig b'shlil, that the Issa, that's a question. The Issa Giranasha only applies to behema v'chaya, doesn't apply to oaf. Doesn't apply to means it doesn't apply to all animals. It has to be a behema, has to be a chaya. So that's a question. If you have a behema or a chaya female is pregnant with an uber, do you say the uber is already called the behema of a chaya? Maybe it only gets that, it's alive, it's an animal, it's alive, something inside the rechem. But maybe it's only given that shem be'em achai when it's born. So that's what the Gemara says. Because of a noig b'shlil. The Tana is of the opinion, making a lot of assumptions now.
Well,
that
Rabbi, how does it happen at the same time? I thought we said before that it only develops later.
So that's the Gemara is going to shlug it up. Yeah. I already read that Gemara, so I already said that before. The Gemara is going to shlug it up. The Gidanash only develops later. Right. That's the Gemara's tiny against it.
Why are they talking about an unusual case of lot of kachir? Why not talk about a b'chor? Much more common.
They're going to discuss the possibility of Kor. They're going to wake up on the next daf. Yeah. They got a difficult line, so they're raising all the possible shotim. So they're raising a possibility, they shoot it down. Raise another possibility, they shoot it down. So as they're raising all the possibilities, they're working through all the details. Can it hold water in this chapter? They're finally going to say, maybe it is a Kor. Okay, we'll get to that. So now the suggestion is, Elohacha is Vladis Kachim. So it's not that it was chul in the first 6 months and then you magdish it. When it was chul and it already had an isa gina nosha, so of course the isa is not going to disappear. No, it was kodesh when the first second it was a vladis kachim. It was kodesh all along, and the Tanya is of the opinion that even before it's born, noy bishlil, it's called behema v'chaya even before it's born. There's room to dingzach. You can say Tosis quotes. It's in a previous parak. It's in a previous parak. The Gemara raised the possibility, maybe before it's born, it doesn't have it's an animal, maybe it doesn't have the shame behem, it doesn't have the shame chaya. So the Gemara says, Atana holds that it does have. No, it is called behem, it is called a chaya. Because sovereign, and the Tana also holds, v'lod is kachim b'behem and hekdoshim, the kedusha is korban is chal also. So the isa give, isa mekdoshim, b'hadi hadadi ka'osu. There's no issue of ein isa chal al isa, because this is an isa basachas, they're both chal simultaneously. The me'im and everything is chal simultaneously. So, Fred, the Gemara shoots it down. How can that be pshat in the Mishnah? It doesn't read straight. Because the second and the third line in the Mishnah say, it's noig b'chulin of a mekdoshim. So you tell me mekdoshim means it's an uber, and the Tana holds noig b'shlil. You read, skip two lines later, and you have a machloikis, noig bishlil, Rabbi Yehuda Me'in a noig bishlil. It's a machloikis in the Tana. So you're telling me already on the third line in the Mishnah is assuming noig bishlil. So how do you read two lines later that it's a machloikis? Freg di Gemara, umi motzis mukmas lo bishlil. How can you possibly suggest such an interpretation that it's talking that the yisigit anosh is chab of asachas against the carbon, omidiktani seif and noig bishlil? Two lines later, the Mishnah quotes Michlal, the inference is, the Reisha Labish Lelaskin. Two lines earlier, not talking about an uber that's a fetus inside the mother's body. How can you entertain such a pshat? Marek pushes, no, it doesn't shlug up the pshat. This pshat is still tenable. Ochikama, Dobazem, Machlekis, Rebuta Rabbot. Mara says, no, it's not a kasha. It could be that Mugdoshim on the third line in the Mishnah is referring to a shlil, and the Tana is assuming Gidanoshe applies even before the animal is born. And then he says later, and by the way, that assumption that we made two lines earlier is really Tolim and Machloikis Hatana with a Noig Bishlil. Yeah. So the Gemara is still not rejecting it. The Gemara didn't reject this pshat. But the Gemara is going to reject it because of the Kasha that you is. Freg the Gemara, Mi Motzit Sama, how can you tell me? You can't entertain such pshat. Starvai Bahari Adari Kosi. You're going to tell me that the Issa Ginanosh and the Issa Hegdish achal simultaneously inside the rechem of the mother, it's not true. The Gidin don't develop till the end. Let's say, Behema Daka is a 5-month pregnancy, Behema Gasa is a 9-month pregnancy, different types of animals. So the Gidin only develop towards the end of the pregnancy. The Basa develops earlier. So the Gemara says the Issa Kachim is chal when it starts to develop inside the mother's body. If you hold the lotus kachim, the me'im on hen kedoshim. So the isa hegdish was chal earlier. The isa get on us. It can't be chal before the gidim developed. The gidim only developed later on. And how do you know that's a biological fact? Who bears up that that's true? So the Gemara says we have a Mishnah that implies like that. Freg the Gemara. How can you possibly say Tavai Bahari Adari Kosu that the Issa Gidanash is Chal simultaneously with the Issa Hegdish? But Tanan, we have a funny Mishnah in Nazir, we just had in Parshas Nazir, the dinim of Nazir. So Nazir, like a Kohen, he's not allowed to be Metami L'Mason. If he's in high school and they're going to dissect a mouse, he'll become Tamei. A mouse is an Achbar, is one of the Shemana Shrok, one of the Shemana Shrotz, is Metami L'Moso. But the Kohen is allowed to become Tamei to other Tumas. Only he's not allowed to come Tamei Tumas Meis. So the Nazir is the same. Nazir with the Kohen, the same thing. He's not allowed to become Tamei Tumas Meis. So the Mishnah said, the Pasuk says in Chumash, the Chiyomis Meisala Befes HaPisal. Let's say the Nazir is observing all the dinim and he's in a house and all of a sudden someone gets a heart attack and they drop dead right in front of him. He didn't do anything wrong. It was an accident and he became Tamei. So the Torah says, even though it's not his fault, he has to bring special karbonis, has to shave off all of his hair. A yomim harishani b'yitlu, let's say he was mekabel naziris for 100 days. And on the 99th day, somebody gets a heart attack and dies. So a yomim harishani b'yitlu, the whole 99 days is all canceled. He has to bring a whole series of karbonis, shave off all of his hair, and start counting all over again. The 100 days, all over again. So the Mishnah says that this thing only applies if he actually comes in contact with a mace. There are cases where you have Tumas Meis and he didn't come in contact with the Meis. Let's say, for example, Cherev Harehu Kecholo. Cherev Harehu Kecholo. Let's say someone attended a funeral and he had a metal knife in his pocket. Or someone dies at home and you have metal forks and knives in the house.
Wristwatch.
Wristwatch. You have a metal cleat. So metal holidays. All the Rishonim agreed. Metal, the Rambam holds even clothing. Any cleat other than cleat Cheres. And the Ravid holds like Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, where the din of Cherev Harehu Kecholo applies. So there's a din, if someone dies in a house, and there are metal kelim in the house, all the metal kelim have the din like Avi Avoy Satuma. So what's the din if a Nazir comes in contact with a fork or a knife that's a Cherev Harehu Kecholo? So the din is that the Mishnah says he doesn't have the din. When he's Tamei Tumas Meis, he has the Tumah like a Tumas Meis, it doesn't count. Let's say he counted 99 days, and then he, by mistake, he came in contact with a knife or a fork that was in the same room with the person who died. So he gets a Tumah as if he came in contact with a Meis. But he didn't come in contact with a Meis. So the Rambam coins that expression. If the Nazir came in contact with Atzmo Shel Meis, an actual dead body, then Ayamim Harishanim Yiplu. Then the Nazir is Megaleach. He has to shave off all this hair and he has to bring special commandments. He has to start counting all over again. But if he just became Tomei Tumas Meis without actually coming in contact with Atzmo Shel Meis, then the days that he's Tomei Tumas Meis don't count. But he counted the first 99 days. He only needs another day. So he waits till he has Azor Shlishi Shvi. Paraduma, what Azor Shlishi, he goes to mikveh, then he counts one more day from the Naziris and is finished. You don't always say the rule of Hayom HaRishonim Yiplu. There's Tumah Shanoza Megaleach Alav, Tumah Sheina Noza Megaleach Alav. What are the cases? What's Tumah Sheina Noza Megaleach Alav? One is Cherev Harehu Kecholo, that's a Tumah Sheina Noza Megaleach Alav. Another one is Sof Tumah Latzis. Sof Tumah Latzis is like this. Let's say there's a mace in one room and the door is closed. The door is closed, so the tumah doesn't go through. But we plan, we're not going to leave the mace there forever. The Chevek Kaddish is going to have to take the mace and bury him. And they plan to take him this way. When they're going to come in another hour, we lock the door now, so the tumah doesn't go from one room to the other. But the Chevek Kaddish and another hour are going to come, and they're going to open the door, and they're going to take the mace out. They're not going to take the front way. They're going to take out the front of the shul. All the people are going to get all shaken up. They're going to take the side exit, the side entrance to the shul. So that's called Sof Tumah Latzis. Even though the door is closed now, and the tumah shouldn't go from one room to the other, since later they plan to open the door, so it's already mitame now. But the mace is not in the room now. So that's a case where you have a stunt. You have a tumas mace without atzma shel mace. So we paskan in Shulchan Aruch that, strictly speaking, the kohen is only prohibited to come in contact with a mace. With a tumas mace, that's not atzma shel mace, nikar adin, it's really mutam. But in these two cases that should have been identical, the Sof Tumah Latzis with the Cherev Harehu Kecholo, they should have been both the same. They both have both. It's a case where there's a Tumas Meis without actually coming in contact with an Atzma Shel Meis, actual Meis. So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch makes a split. He quotes it from the Ma'arik, I think, from the earlier Achrayim, that by the seif tamalot says yasa, the kohen is not allowed to go in the, is not allowed to remain in the room where we the chevek kadisha plans to take the mesa. Masheni ken chevek erkochol, that's mutar machatchila. Why does he split between the two? They're both exactly the same. They're both a case where it's tumas mes with aratz mushal mes. So the Ramos quoting from the earlier poskim, they have a lashon in Hebrew. It's like a translation from the Yiddish. Kedei shalo l'shaber es haminik. Zivel nish tzebrechen haminik. The minik always was that the Kohanim were careful not to come in contact with Seif Tumalot. The din is that it should really be mutter. Kohanim are only prohibited to come in contact with a real mace. A tumash anozim megalech alav, the kohen is muzer. Tumash ein anozim megalech, the kohen is not muzer. So there never was a minik clearly on cherev harekachol. So the Ramah says that's mutter. The kohenim are permitted to come in contact with cherev harekachol, but there always was a minhag that the kohenim should not come in contact with the seif tumalot. So they say kedosh shalom the shaber is a minhag. So we leave it. So we say that's also. But really, mikra and din, they're both mutter.
Isn't that Rav Goren's tshuva about going to medical school for a kohen is based on the cherev harekachol, that
yes,
it's tumor b'chiburim when you're holding on to
yes.
Others argue. Obviously.
Rabbi Goren was a genius. So someone, a kohen wanted to go to medical school. You're not allowed to be metamei lemeis. So Rabbi Goren came up with this idea, which is probably not correct. Hashda says that it's not correct. He said the kohen is permitted to come in contact with a fork and a knife that was in the same room with the mace. That's tumas mace without atzmashal mace. So let the kohen have such a pocket knife in his pocket. Let him walk around. That's how to go. And then when he comes in contact with the real dead body, he's not being moisef tuma al tumasai, because he's holding on to the other thing that has the same degree of tuma. So he thought that in such a case, it's muta l'chatchila. Muta l'chatchila for the coin to hold on to the cherev harei kecholo, to the knife that was in the oil amaze. And once he's holding on to that, so when he comes in contact with the real dead body, it's not being moisef tuma al tumasai. The pashtus is it's not correct, because the fact that this is muta for the coin and that's usher means that there is something there that wasn't there before. The mace, atzmashal mace. The other thing only has a tumas mace. When he comes in contact with the real dead body, that's a real mace. That's why Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik both said that to permit a kohen to go to medical school today, after so many years that it was accepted that it's usher to come up with an einfal, how it should be mutter, so they both used a lashon. They weren't referring to Rabbi Goren's heter. People thought that we should try to make a heter, so they both used the same lotion. It's a bizayin atayra for someone to come up for a heter that kohenim should be allowed to go to medical school. They said it's assumed, it was always assumed for so many centuries that it's awesome. Shouldn't come up with a heter. So the Gemara is quoting this Mishnah. The Gemara is saying, how can you tell me that the gid anosha is already there at the beginning of the pregnancy? No, it comes at the end. For haraya, so the Issa Hegdish is chal right away when the fetus begins to develop inside the rechem of the female carbon, and the Gid Anasha doesn't come till a month later, till the end of the pregnancy. How do you know? Because there's a Mishnah that says, Vatanan. There's a Mishnah that says, Aleila Tumas HaNazir Megalech. The Nazir is permitted l'chatchila to become Tamei. Let's say he's going to touch somebody who went to a funeral. So the one who went to a funeral is an achatumah. So if I touch him, I become a rishon l'tumah. That's muta l'chatchila for the nazir to do. Or the nazir is going to touch a dead mouse. Or the nazir is going to touch someone who's a balkeri. Or he himself will become a balkeri. Other tumas are not a problem. Only tumas meis is osir. And he's only megaleach. Aleil tumas anazir megaleach means it upsets a yom rishonim yiplu. He has to start counting all over again. He has to do tiglachas tumah. He has to bring special set of karbonis. That's only if he actually came in contact with a mace. If it's only cherev harei kecholol, or it's only seif tumalotzis, that's tumas mace with that actual atzmushal mace, then the nazir is not megaleh. So the Mishnah says the following tumas are the real mekoi, real ala mace, if the nazir came in contact with a dead body, or al kazayis ben a mace. He comes in contact with the kazayis. And we asked the kasha, the kasha lon, we didn't understand the Mishnah and nazir. If the Mishnah, once the Mishnah says, if you have kazayis from a human dead body, that's called atzmashal meis. So if you have the whole meis, it's certainly atzmashal meis. So why does the Mishnah say ala meis or al kazayis man meis? Say the second one. Alei the tumas anazim agaleach al kazayis man meis. So yesh kol masayim mana. So if he comes in contact with the mace, of course he's going to become, of course he's in touch with the whole mace. The kasha long we were bothered with the kasha, al kazayis men ames migaleach, if he's only in contact with the kazayis of the flesh of the mace, we call it atzma shal mace, even though it's not the whole dead body. So it's a big big mace, and he cut off a kazayis. Al kula lo koshken, so why does the Mishnah have to write al ames? And for the Gemara, the answer is, v'amar Rav Yechon made a comment on the Mishnah, when the fetus starts to, this is a mace odom, a human mace. We're talking about behemoths that are carbonous and pregnant, a pregnancy in an animal. But they're quoting from a Mishnah about the human beings, the fetus of a human being. So Rabbi Yechanan says, Segemalta echetimtze, the din is like this, the Mishnah has, if a woman is pregnant for less than 40 days and she loses the pregnancy, we call it maya bialma. That's not called a mace. She'll become a nida. There'll be a lot of damel coming out. She'll become a nida, won't she? She's not called the oledus. That's not called the oledus. But if she has a pregnancy, it's something like 43 days, 44 days. They have in their books, I remember when we had little babies, we used to go to Dr. Gribbets. So they have photographs what the fetus looks like after 43 days, 44 days. So the Mishnah says 40 days. It's not exactly 40 days. You need a minimum of 40 days, plus it should look, have a tzuras havlat, it should look like something. It's only in Gansan, an inch by an inch, the whole fetus is teeny-weeny thing, but you already see the beginning of the shape of the body. So if the woman loses a fetus before 40 days, might be alma. If she has a fetus more than 40 days, that's not might be alma, then she's called the oledus. If the fetus comes out, she has tumas yoledus. So it's possible that she can have a mace, odom, and there's no kazayis basar. Kazayis men ames is if you have a kazayis basar. It's possible after 43, 44 days, as a tzuras havlad, the whole thing is in gansan an inch by an inch. So that's what the Mishnah tells me. If you have a mace sholem has to be at least after 43, 44 days when you have tzuras havlad. If you have a mace sholem, that's called atzma shel mace. Or if you have a bigger mace, and you have a kazayis basar from the mace, then it's also atzma shel mace, also nazim galech. So that's where Rabbi Yechanan said on the Mishnah. The kasha was, what does the Mishnah say? The nazir came in contact either with a mace or with kazayis man ames. If he's megalech, if it has the dinam of atzma shel mace, only a kazayis, so certainly if in contact with the whole mace. Rabbi Yechanan said no. It's talking that the fetus just barely made it. It's only 44 days old. And there isn't a kazayis yet. And it doesn't become developed until later. And the gidim don't come till later. That's what he threw in. He added that. When the Mishnah says, ala meis sholem, it's metame, and it's atzma shel meis, the chiddush is anefel, shelo nitshura evora begidin. It didn't start to develop the gidin yet. He didn't really have to throw in the word gidin to answer the kasha in the Mishnah. But he's explaining what the Metzius is. Biologically, the Gidin come later. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan told us a biological fact. The Gidin first is a little piece of flesh, and then the Gidin come to develop later. So this slugs up the suggestion that we gave before. He said before, Bevlod is kachim. So the Yisek Gid Anash is chal simultaneously with the Yisek Hegdish. It's not true. The Vlod is kachim is at the beginning of the pregnancy, if you hold the Me'imun Hankadoshim. So the Issa Kodesh is chal at the beginning of the pregnancy. And the Issa Gid Anasha is not chal to way later, the later months, the last month or two, when the Gid is going to develop. But in the earlier months, there is no Gid Anasha. Alma, what do you see from Rabbi Yechanan's comment? Issa Mekdoshim Kodim. The Issa Kodesh precedes the Issa Gid Anasha, because the Gid Anasha didn't exist. None of the Gidim existed in the beginning. So the Gemara says, you have to scrap that pshat. The Gemara is going to suggest another pshat. We're going to keep on suggesting pshatim. What does the Mishnah tell me over here? We were bothered with the question, if the behemoth was born 6 months ago, and then you magdash it, so the first 6 months I had an Issa and I had an Issa Gid Anasha. So why should the Issa disappear after 6 months just because you magdash it? So the Gemara is standing on the head to try to figure out what case is the Mishnah talking about. They said, if the case is that it's Vlod Eskotchim, and you're going to tell me they're both Chal simultaneously, that's not correct biologically. The Issa Gid Anasha can't be Chal simultaneously. Issa Gid Anasha is only Chal when the Gid develops.
But the concern should only be about the Gid itself. The fact that the rest of the behemoth is Hektish doctrine to develop it.
Yes.
It should only be the did that we're concerned with, and the did doesn't exist until the point where it's going to exist.
So when it comes into existence, it should be chal b'vasachas. So mistam is like this. Let's say I have a piece of rubber, and I make it hegdish. And then I take the rubber and I stretch it. So it's not. So oh, now I have 4 inches. We have four. I had 2 inches of rubber. Now I have 4 inches. So let's say it's hegdish. So the isa hegdish is chal on the extra 2 inches now that I stretched it. No, the isa hegdish was chal on everything before, and the thing keeps on growing bigger and bigger. That's when is the shas chalois ha isa? Shas chalois is when it was 2 inches. When
it's always there. Just it develops further.
It gets the hegdish just getting bigger and bigger. So true, the gid. None of the gidin were there in the beginning of the pregnancy, but the isa, according to this opinion, that the blood is kachim become kodesh b'mei iman before 43 days. It's my bialma, so it's not called a vlad. After 44 days, it's a tzuras avlad. So there is a vlad. So blood is kachim. If you hold b'mei iman hen kodeshim, the isa kodesh is chal. Then it gets bigger, develops gidin a gidin. The gidin are just an extension of the isa kodesh that was there, but the isa gidin nashi can't be chal earlier. The Giranasha didn't exist. So the Issa Giranasha can't be chal till it comes into existence. But the Issa Kodesh was there. If you hold B'meim and Hekdash, just that it's getting bigger. So the Issa Kodesh, this man, Chalois HaYissa, the Kodesh was earlier. That's the Gemara's Taina. So the Gemara says, maybe you're right, that maybe this is, the Mishnah means to tell me there's an exception to the rule that Issa chal al Issa, even though Giranasha is not chal till it comes into existence, let's say the last month and a half of the pregnancy, and the Issa Kodesh preceded, the Issa Kodesh was after the 43 days, the Issa Giran Asha is 2 months later, maybe I should say Issa Chal al Issa, just like the Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanaim, where the Giran Asha is Naik B'Tmeya. So we said before that the two interpretations of what the Machlokes is. One interpretation was, when was the Issa Giran Asha given? If it was given Kodem Matan Torah, in the days of Yankov Avinu, there was no Issa Tmeya. They were allowed to eat horse meat. Maybe the others volunteered on their own. The Gemara is going to talk about later. Maybe the others volunteered on their own not to eat, not to violate Isur. That's the question. The Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin, Kiyam Avram Avinu Kala Torah Kul Hachalei Nitna. Avram Avinu, the others volunteered. So the Maharami Prague thinks that they only volunteered as an Enim Suvi Yosef Mitzvah Sesa. He thinks it does make sense to volunteer a Mitzvah Slei Sesa. If there's not there, it is not there. But mitzvah says, even if you're not mechuyiv to, but there's a concept of eina mitzvah v'yosa. You're volunteering. Let's say a woman will shake a lulav. A woman is not mechuyiv to shake a lulav. It says man grama, but the women all shake a lulav because there is a concept of you get schar. Just a debate in the Gemara, who gets more schar, the man or the woman? The woman is volunteering out of the goodness of her heart. Maybe she should get more schar, less schar. But you see from the fact that she does get schar, there is a kiyuv. But if you avoid violation of an isa which doesn't apply to you, I'm not going to go to a funeral. I'm not a kohen. What do you mean not going to go to a funeral? What are you accomplishing by not going to a funeral? There is no mitzvah. There's an aveira. If you're a kohen, there's an aveira. You're not allowed to be mitam. But I'm not a kohen, so there's no aveira. So it's at the gomer.
What if a guy shakes a lulav?
What if a guy
shakes a lulav?
Yeah.
So is it similar to a woman?
Rav Soloveitchik thought, Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein thought that it's not similar. They thought that the guy has no kiyum at all.
Rashi says
there's a Tshuva HaRambam where the Ram talks about a guy volunteering to do a bris milah. So the Rambam says he gets schar, but he doesn't get the full schar. So Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein both thought that it must be a forgery. They didn't believe that that's an authentic Tshuva HaRambam. That's Rav Moshe's Lashon Lav Shmei Da Rambam Chosam Alei. We don't have the manuscript. We don't see. He thought it's not an authentic Tshuvas HaRambam. Yeah.
Rashi says with Lashi Ugos that why didn't Avram Avinu give it to the Malachim? Because she was Pirtsa Nido. So wouldn't that seem to imply that they did follow Lot HaZeis?
Yeah.
How does the Maharal stem with that?
I don't know. Good question. Rashi quotes a Medrash like that, the Pirtsa Nido. Yeah. I don't know.
And also, the whole idea of Nida also would be, right?
Yeah, the whole Nida is a Lysis.
It didn't also look to crop, right?
Yes, yes.
Why did Rachel have to die before entering Eretz Yisrael? Same reason. Yaakov wasn't going to have two sisters entering Eretz Yisrael. Same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
The Arbon Chulon al Taros HaKadosh. Avraham Avinu, no? The fulfillment of the Kaddish is...
I don't know, maybe that's a mitzvah. I don't know. Yeah, a lot of the Ramban says beferish. The Ramban thinks that Ovis Kodem Antara volunteered not only the mitzvahs, the lavim also. The Marami Praga is in disagreement with the Ramban. We are saying there are a ton of midrashim that say like the Ramban. Okay, how can the Marami Praga disagree with all the midrashim? I don't know. It's a good tainan. So again, so the Gemara says maybe the Yoilim, the case in the Mishnah is they're trying to figure out pshat. So they said one pshat, they reject it. The second pshat, they keep on rejecting. They're going to reject this one also. So they're going to maybe twist everything backwards. But it's now we're in a stage of a suggestion. So they say, maybe the Mishnah is alluding to a special case, an Akimta case. And they just wrote it. You really need a whole paragraph to explain this. We needed five paragraphs to explain what the Gemara said. So the Gemara is saying the Mishnah just wrote a remez, beremez, that there's a case where the Mugdoshim, the both Yisurim will be chal simultaneously, Bevlod is kachim, and they both chal simultaneously. Most of you can't say it's chal simultaneously. Get a nosh, you can't be chal until a gid develops. That's the later in the pregnancy. And if you hold Bevlod is kachim, and Meim and Han Kedoshim, so the Kedusha's carbon is chal after 43 days, and then it gets bigger, that's the Yisur already said it, and just expanding. And the Get a nosh is clearly later, then it should be Ein Yisur chal al Yisur. Then it should not be Noig. So the Gemara said, no, maybe the Tana in the Mishnah holds Gira Nasha Ischal on Mugdoshim, maybe holds Ischal Alisa. Why? Like the Tana had a Machlekes. So the Gemara, on the top line, Afagavti Isa Mugdoshim, and for the Gemara, maybe this is the Pshat, Afagavti Isa Mugdoshim Kodim, even though the Isa Kodesh preceded the Isa Gira Nasha, maybe the Mishnah is telling me this Chiddush. Maybe that's what he's driving. How do you know? That's the Mishnah later. That the Mishnah has the Machlokes HaTanayim where the Ginanash is Noig in horses, in Behemet Tmeya. So the one Tana, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's Noig Behemet Tmeya. Why? Because Ginanash was given Kodem Matan Torah, and it applies to a wider audience of people. The Issa Behemet Tmeya only applies to the Bnei Yisrael after Matan Torah. Ginanash applies even to the people, the Jewish people who were before Matan Torah. That's how Rashi translates. What do you mean the Bnei Noach? Bnei Noach usually means the non-Jews. Non-Jews only have seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. It means, the Gemara means to say that once Gira Nasha was given, when the Malach broke Yankel Avinu's leg, so the Issa Gira Nasha applies to all the non-Jews also? Kodem Matan Torah, really? So that's what some learn. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns Bnei Noach means the children of Yankel Avinu who still had the status of Bnei Noach. The Jews called him Matan Torah.
Doesn't the Mishnah say in the Dorim that Bnei Noach is not Jewish people, right? In other words, the same Lashon.
In Lashon Bnei Adam. Lashon Bnei Adam today. Lashon Bnei Adam today. But in the Gemara, Rashi and Tosfos learn that Bnei Noach doesn't mean the non-Jews. But it means Issa Chal Al Issa because the audience to whom the second Issa is relevant is bigger than the audience where the first Issa is. So whenever the second Issa applies to more people, that's called an Issa Moisif. So that's what the Gemara suggests. Maybe that's the Pshat. Afagavti Issa, top line, Afagavti Issa Mekdoshim Kod, maybe that's Pshat. Even though the Issa Kodesh is Chal from the beginning of the pregnancy, from 43 44 days, still, perhaps that's what the Mishnah is telling me here. Osi Issa Gid, B'chayel Alai, why it's an Issa Chal Al Issa? No, this is an Issa Moisif, because the Issa Gid Anoshe applies to more people. Shken Yisur Noach, B'vnei Noach, whatever that means. B'nach means even the non-Jews, B'nach means the Jews Kodem Matan Torah. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Man Shams Lehi Svar, who's the one who says like that? That the Issa Gid Anoshe applied to the Ovis Kodem Matan Torah. That's the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So you're going to tell me that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda? The Mishnah clearly does not go like Rabbi Yehuda. This perek is not Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He holds Gid Anosh only applies to the right leg, doesn't apply to the left leg. And the Mishnah says Gid Anosh applies both to the right leg and to the left leg. So you can't say that our Mishnah. The Gemara says, Man Isleha, Man Shamis Lehai Svar. Who is the one who thinks like that? That Issa Gid Anosh can be Chal on top of a previous Issa because it's Issa Moisif. Because it applies to more people, it applies even to Bnei Noach. The one who said that is Rabbi Yehuda by the Behemoth Tmeya. V'hamasnisn v'loiker Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Mishnah says, Noyeg b'yerach shel min and b'yerach shel smol. And Rabbi Yehuda said, b'feirish, not so. Rabbi Yehuda did, so our Tana is not Rabbi Yehuda. And for the Gemara name, our Tana is a third Tana. He holds half like Rabbi Yehuda and half like the Rabban. You're not mechuyev to vote all the time like Rabbi Yehuda. But the Republicans always have to vote Republican, and the Democrats always have to vote Democrat. You can, sometimes you vote Republican, sometimes you vote Democrat. So the Mishnah holds against Rabbi Yehuda that it applies both to the right leg and to the left leg, not like Rabbi Yehuda only applies to the right leg. And the Mishnah holds, like the other Rabbi Yehuda, that Gidon Noshe applies even to the Bnei Noach, and therefore Issachar al Issa, because it's called an Issa Maisa. So that's an Ishken Taina. Hai Taina Sabala Kavasa, Bechore Palagalei Bechore. So the Gemara says, no, it still doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Yehuda said, Gidon Noshe is Chalan Behema Temeya. Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell me Gidon Noshe is Chalan Mugdoshim. Yeah! Mugdoshim is so much more chomer than Gidon Noshe. Behema Temeya is alive. Kiranosh is alive. The Gemara says, "Mi Shamus say." In fact, the Gemara, "Ema the Shamus lay the Rabbi Yehuda b'tmeya that Kiranosh is chal on a horse b'ema tmeya. Why the is alive of the kachim? You're going to tell me over here, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say just like Kiranosh is chal on horse meat, so to Kiranosh is chal on Mekdoshim. No, Mekdoshim is much more chomer. Mekdoshim sometimes leads to an isekar. Mi Shamus lay. Gemara says, no, your whole pshat is wrong." So they finally rejected it, so they're going to give a different suggestion. We have this line in the Mishnah that's clearly alluding to something. We don't know what it's alluding to. So they kept on giving suggestions. They're going to finally give another suggestion. Okay, we'll save that for after the summer. Yisrachal Alisa, it's a new topic. In this week's Sedra, we have the din of HaParashas Chalah, Parashas Shlach. In the Torah, the mitzvah of HaParashas Chalah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply to Chutz Lartz. Midirabbanan, they introduced it all over the world. You have to be Mafresh Chalah all over Midirabbanan. Bizmanan say, even in Eretz Yisrael, Chalah is only Midirabbanan. Gemara explains. When they came, it says, B'vayachem el ha'aretz. So they, when they came to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, there was a bias kulchem. After the Golas Bavel, and Ezra and Nehemiah schlepped a few stragglers back to Eretz Yisrael, there was a very tiny proportion of the population came back. There were millions of Jews lived in Bavel, and 44,000 came back there itself. So there was no Bias Kulchan. So the Gemara says in Ksubas and Daf Chafei that Bizman Azeh, after the Churban Bais Rishon, the whole mitzvah of Chala is only Midirabban. You have to have a Bias Kulchan. So Chala today, Chutz Lartz, is a Derabbanan on top of a Derabbanan. It's a Derabbanan Kal. So the Gemara points out, there's a Mishnah has that, a Mishnah Me'ilah points out, that there are four things that are considered truma. Chalah HaParashas Chalah is truma. Then if you have Peres that grew in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to first be Mafish Truma Gedoyla, the Maisa Rishon, the Maisa Sheni, so that's truma. When you Mafish Maisa Rishon, you give it to the Levi, so the Levi has to take out Maisa Mina Maisa. So Maisa Mina Maisa has the exact same dating like truma. And then the fourth thing that has the same status as truma is Bikurim. When the farmer's mafresh bikurim and still attached to the ground, mafresh bikurim. So the Mishnah has that all of these four have a din of truma. They're all considered truma. Mainav kamina that it's all shem echad of truma. So the Mishnah has there's a machlekes hatanaim. If a person eats non-kosher food, how much food does he have to eat in order to get malchus? So one time it holds kosher hula malchus. You just have a little nibble, you ready to get malchus. We don't pass like that. You only get malchus if you eat a kazayis of non-kosher food. So what if you eat a kazayas of non-kosher, I eat a half a kazayas of basa b'cholav and half a kazayas of pork. I eat a full kazayas of non-kosher, but it's not the same issa. One is basa b'cholav, one is behemet tmeya. So that's a machloikas hatanan. We paskin, you don't get malchus. Ein isuri mitztarfim zeh mzeh. The only time it's mitztarfim if it's shem echad. So the Mishnah has like that. I'm not a kohen, not to be a kohen. And if I eat a quarter of a kazayis of truma, quarter of a kazayis of chala, quarter of a kazayis of maisa min a maisa, truma is maisa, quarter of a kazayis of bikurim. So the Mishnah says the Rome, it's tar from yachad, and I get malchus, because it's all shem echad, it's all considered truma. So the psukim have in Chumash, it's truma l'ashem. It's mentioned a few times, truma l'ashem. So the Yerushalmi has that. When you learn Yerushalmi chala, so you have a few times, when you mafresh chala, you say, I raise a truma l'ashem al akol. We don't say that. I raise a truma l'ashem al hakol. You say I raise a challah. Who says truma l'ashem al hakol? So how come we don't follow the nusach? And Yerushalmi seems to learn that from psukim. Truma Lashem. When you makrish the Truma, you have to say Truma Lashem. So the Malbim has a fantastic, Malbim was a great goyim. He was one of the big poskim in his generation, but he started to write on Tanakh. So he went down in history as a mumcha on Tanakh. But he was one of the big poskim of his generation, the big Meir HaRoh. Mishnah Berurah quotes him a lot in Hilchas Tzitzis, Hilchas Tefillin, because he wrote a Sefer Arzei Sachai. So he quotes him in the Sefer Psak Halacha. So the Malbim on Chumash has the fantastic suggestion. He says, that's a biblical requirement. Whenever you makrish Shum, you're supposed to say Truma Lashem. But once the Chachamim introduced a bracha in advance, Baruch Ato Hashem Lekenim Alchoyim Meshik Zom Tosano Allah Prashas Truma, so he mentioned Shem Hashem in the bracha, so there's no need to mention Shem Hashem in the Kri Hashem. Before they introduced the Bichas HaMitzvah, so it was required, possibly, in the Torah to say, Areza Truma Lashem Alakol. You got to use the word Truma Lashem. But once they introduce the bracha, today everybody says a bracha, so then there's no need to mention Shem Hashem and the Kri Hashem. That's a fantastic chiddush. That's a big chiddush. Yeah. But that's the halacha, that the hafrashas chala is considered it's a form of Truma. And it's the Avdei Nezer has a suffix, Bikurim is a blend of Truma and Maaseh Sheni, because you can't eat Bikurim chutz l'Yerushalayim. Maaseh Sheni can be eaten by a non-Kohen also in Yerushalayim. But Bikurim is a blend of both Truma and Maaseh Sheni. So you can, if you're not a Kohen, you can't eat it, because it has a level of Kedusha's Truma. And if you want to eat it Chutz Yerushalayim, you can't eat it, because it has an element of Maaseh Sheni in it. So Maaseh Sheni, so Bikurim is a blend of two Kedushas. So that's a Shaila. Let's say there's a Din of Chumash, if a Zar, a non-Kohen, eats Truma B'Shegek. So he has to be mafrish keren v'chomish. He has to be mafrish peiris. Let's say he drank wine that was truma. So he has to take wine of chulin and give it to the kohen. V'nosan l'kohen es hakodesh. And he gives the wine to the kohen. It becomes truma. So the Avnei Nezer has a sofek. One of his grandchildren wrote him this. The poilish goyim. They were goyim adirim on everything. He was one of the goyim adirim. The Avnei Nezer. So his grandson raised the issue and he says he has no rights what the din is. A non-Kohen eats Bikurim B'Shoigeg, so he has to be Mafrish, the same type of food that he ate B'Shoigeg, because Bikurim is like Truma, so whatever he's Mafrish becomes Truma. Does it become Truma like Bikurim, or just Truma like Truma? Because Bikurim is a blend of Maaseh Sheni and Truma. But if you ate Maaseh Sheni, Shaloi Kedin, there is no din that you Tashlum and that Pachim Liyas Kodesh. That's only a din of Truma. So he says, maybe the din is that if a person by mistake, a zar by mistake, ate bikurim, maybe the tashlum and that pachm liyas truma, and that truma maybe eat the chutz l'Yerushalayim. Maybe he doesn't have this blend of the both kedushas. He's not sure about that. Very good. You should all have a pleasant summer.
I just want to let Rabbi know we signed today with Mosaic Press, Yaakov.